Hey Veritas, welcome to the Sunday recap video. We're talking still in our revival series about this idea of biblical maturity. Jake just preached on it over Mother's Day. So I got Matthew Morkin here from the adult ministry team to talk through this idea of biblical maturity and help us start to process this message a little bit. So Matthew, one of the first things I wanted to ask, Jake brought up this idea that maturity takes time, but time doesn't guarantee maturity. Just as we're listening in, I want you to raise the stakes for me a little bit. Like, have you seen that happen in your life? Maybe someone who's been a Christian for a while, but maybe not been biblically mature. Is that a real thing?
That is a real thing. I mean, I have seen it in my own life. You know, there are things where you're like, am I really this old and still struggling with this? And
you're not that old.
Thank you. I have been struggling with that recently, but just the age part. You see that thing and you see how people who have been saved for like 6 months and are just consuming the Bible in massive portions, and then the brother who's been saved for 40 years and they're still struggling to get in the word, just some of the more basic stuff like that. Just seen it on a broad array of things.
So it's possible to be saved but not be mature. Maturity is not the level of how saved you are or anything like that. But yeah, it's possible. I mean, Jake brought up a passage in Hebrews, you're still kind of spiritual infants, right? You've been born again, you're part of the new family, but maybe it's the person who's like, if you grew up in a church where as a little kid you kind of were afraid of some of the old people because they weren't very nice, and it's like, all right, they've been saints for 60 years, but they're not very nice saints, right? The fruit of the Spirit doesn't seem to be evident in their life in those ways.
Yeah, and I think the balance of fruit versus, maturity. Mm-hmm. I mean, what would you say is the line between fruit and maturity?
Sure. Yeah, when I say fruit, we're talking Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. I think it's evidence of the Spirit putting work into your life. And when you see a person that demonstrates a lot of those things, that's maturity, right? The way that they handle a situation looks like patience, looks like love, looks like kindness. And the way that gets formed into us, actually, Jake listed three kind of attitudes that are behind this whole thing, too. Mm-hmm. So even in this conversation, as you're looking at your life and going like, man, there's some places I need to be more mature, Jake listed three kind of parts of the attitude behind Christian maturity. He said a desire to know Jesus, kind of what you were talking about, when that young believer that's hungry, a humble perspective of self, and a focus on mission. So Matthew, help us apply these things. How do we, let's take this one at a time. How do we as regular, everyday church people try to grow in those things? So desire to know Jesus. How, if someone came to you and goes, how do I grow in my desire to know Jesus? What do I do about that? What would you recommend?
I think one of the things to realize is we do this all the time with everything else. I mean, if we want to run a marathon, or if we want to run a 5K, it comes with we alter some things in our life.
Sure.
And we don't bat an eye at it. We don't bat an eye at the fact that if I'm going to run 26.2 miles, which honestly I would wonder, why would anyone want to do that, right? They've invented the wheel, I mean, so if you have it, you realize when you set goals like that, when you set goals for work, you change what you do. You might show up for work earlier. If you're running a marathon, you change your diet. You do things. And so spiritual maturity in a Christian is, it's going to take some things changing. Yeah. You might get up earlier and read some scripture. Mm-hmm. Again, so often I think when you think of maturity, or when people think about maturity, you think about, oh man, I read 7 chapters in the Bible today. Knock it off. Have you read the Bible today? Mm. Are you in prayer? We talked the other week about confession and repentance. Yeah. Are you now sorrowful for sin, whereas before you didn't care, and then you act on your sorrow by confessing it to God, confessing it to others, and returning from it?
But drill down specifically. You mentioned a couple times, if someone's specifically struggling with a desire to know Jesus, what's the first step they should take? Maybe it's not 7 chapters of the Bible. What's the first step they should take?
Yeah, I mean, I would dive into the Bible.
Yeah.
God has written us a letter, and he's given it to us. It displays his character to a group of really difficult people in the Old Testament, and how he spoke through the prophets. And when you get to know Yahweh, when you get to know the Lord, you have a letter from Him to dive into. And so whether, not doing the seven chapters a day, but just taking a bit. I mean, some people love to read. Some people like to read a paragraph. Yeah. So what does that look like for you? And then just starting, make steps to help that happen.
And we as a church want to create context for that. So we've got the Veritas reading plan, right? Yeah. That it's 5 days a week, so you have a couple days if you on the weekend if you miss some. But it's even just familiarizing yourself with the storyline of Scripture. So today I was reading Proverbs 1 and 2. That's the week I'm on. I'm not sure what week everyone else is on. But I've got a friend that I'm sending a video message to, like, every day after we read it, and just say a verse that stuck out to us, whatever. That's kind of growing my desire for Jesus.
One of the things you referenced there is a friend you're sending a video to.
Yeah, yeah.
So there, that accountability factor, too, as a new believer, you know, as somebody who's new at running a marathon, which, again, I would never do, but I would probably reach out to somebody who's gone before me and say, what did you do to succeed at this last year, the year before? And just having that accountability, having that community alongside, I think we fall into an era, and I mean, like, just for discussion or connection groups and just in life, we live in a society that wants it here and wants it now.
Yeah.
And so we assume, like, well, I'm a Christian. I should just be mature. That takes time, which is what Jake said. And so it's going to take time to get into community. It's going to take time with accountability. You're going to stumble.
Yeah.
We stumble. And so in those times, mastering that restart and just keep going. It's going to take time. You just can't instantly have this book in your heart.
Totally.
It's got to do some reading.
But as you spend the time, we're not just reading a textbook to get to know it.
Yeah.
We're meeting with God. Like 2 Timothy 3 says, this is God breathed. Like, God breathed on Adam in the garden and gave him life. God is giving us life through this.
Absolutely.
So one question to ask yourself is, do I desire to know Jesus? And maybe you don't have a strong desire to be a reader. That's okay. But if you desire to know Jesus, like, you'll find yourself more hungry for Scripture.
Absolutely.
The second point was a humble perspective of self. Okay, humility's hard. any coaching you'd have as we're processing this in connection groups, how do you get into this conversation about humility? How do you grow in humility? Like, what's one thing someone could do?
That's a great question.
It's hard, right?
It's really hard. I think true humbleness comes from not my view of you, but my view of me in lieu of God.
Sure.
I mean, that just really sets the playing field in a proper way. To say, God is sovereign, God is in control, I am broken, we are broken. And so that levels the playing field, understanding our brokenness. And we both have so much in common. We need God.
Yeah.
And so through Jesus Christ, we can have access to the Father and going that route too. And so it seems like a cliche church answer, right? Hey, know God more and you'll be humble. What would you say to that question, though?
I mean,
what are some steps for going for humility?
I mean, the point you're making is really helpful. Like, identify the places where you're prone to compare to other people. Mm-hmm. And that comparison could be positive or negative, right? Pride is either arrogance, where I think I'm better than other people, or insecurity, where I'm always comparing other people.
Yeah.
Exactly what you're saying is helpful, though. Identify those areas in life and then redirect our focus consistently towards God. Mm-hmm. And so the way you redirect your focus might be memorizing Scripture, might be a planned time in the Word, might be accountability and friends helping with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a resource we've used before. When we're able to meet back together, we want you to pick this up. It's the Tim Keller little booklet. What's that called again?
I don't know. Caught me off guard.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm forgetting it right now.
By Tim Keller, helpful booklet.
Yeah. Look it up. One. We'll check it out. This is as live as it gets now.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting it. Oh, well, you'll look it up. Tim Keller booklet, humility. It's great. Last one, Jake mentioned, focus on mission. Okay. How do we, again, in connection groups, applying this thing, how do we begin to focus ourselves on God's mission? What are steps we take there?
I mean, you know, so we've tapped on this now a few times, but knowing God through His Word, being in community to push you there.
So it's like, what is God's mission?
What is God's mission?
How do I get on it with other people? Yeah.
How to get on it. And we talked about it last week, too. I mean, not these messages aren't in and of themselves locked. So you can reference back. You know, you talk about confession. You talk about repentance. Yep. You talk about the purpose of our lives is to bring God glory, to spread His fame through the nations, and therefore starting in our city. So all these things are really tying together and can be referenced back and forth regularly to be on God's mission. I don't feel like I answered that very well. What do you say to that?
You brought this up on the podcast. We've got the Veritas Equipping podcast. You brought this up a few times. We've used language of involved project before. Notice, feel, do. One way to kind of focus on God's mission is to start prayerfully looking around you and seeing the people God's put in your path.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Through this revival series, we've got that prayer guide that's moving from praying about myself to praying about the people around me and then beyond that. So even our prayers can help us refocus on God's mission. And I find when if I only pray for what's immediately on my heart, I kind of pray into a rut, if that makes sense. I just go back to where I always go back to.
Yeah.
But if I intentionally list some people or some whatever that I can start praying for, my heart starts to move towards those and I see more creatively as well. So focusing on God's mission. And if you've got someone in connection group or in your life that's really good at that, ask them to help you. Ask them to bring you along somehow. You don't have to be perfect at all these things.
Well, and we've said before, too, you know, if you want it, pray for it. I mean, God, change my heart. Help me align with your will.
Yeah.
Draw me closer to you. Like, you're asking him to pull you in closer. So, and even as a connection group, we've referenced accountability. Yeah. This is a sweet opportunity to ask that closer circle of community, like, press me on this. Help me dive into the word. Help me be a part of the reading plan. Help me.
Yeah. So Jake kind of brought this message to a conclusion saying, like, biblical maturity, Christian maturity, the root of that, the heart of that is treasuring God more. He said another phrase, maturity is not about moving beyond the gospel, but by being propelled by the gospel. Mm. How do we become people propelled by the gospel? Right? That's a beautiful phrase. How do we actually become that kind of people?
I think a good discussion to have in your groups is really that the question of, are you propelled by the gospel, or are you trying to be a good person?
Hmm.
And so are you being driven or are you being yanked? You know, and I think when you look at morality, when you look at the law, you're trying to like yank yourself into being a better person, being better than grandma, you know, and those kind of things. But like, are you really driven by the grace and mercy of God, the humility of Christ, what he showed us, and stuff like that too?
Being propelled by the gospel, again, is one of those phrases we can kind of get stuck in Christianity of like, that sounds great. But a lot of it is in your failings, in your weaknesses, in your falling short, where you see you're not mature, going back to the source of your hope anyway. Your hope before God is not how mature you are, how well you know the Bible, how disciplined you are. Those are all beautiful things, but that's not the source of your hope, right? There will always be someone more mature that knows more scripture, that's more humble, that's more on mission than you are. And Jesus was that, right? Yeah. He knew God better than any of us. Yeah. He is God.
Yeah.
He was more humble. I mean, Jake read Philippians 2 about Christ's humility, and he was the mission of God, lived out, accomplished reconciliation through his death on the cross. Mm-hmm. But as we look back to him, he actually fuels our love for him, right? He fuels our humility when we look to him. He fuels our mission when we see how beautiful he is. So even as a connection group, finding ways to apply the gospel to each other, don't move so quickly to action steps that you forget identity steps. Like, what is the gospel? What did Jesus accomplish for you?
That's a great, don't move towards action steps, but yeah.
That identity in the gospel.
Identity in the gospel is key. Remembering, and I mean, it humbles us, like we've been talking about, by remembering that we all, in this circle, we all need Jesus Christ to survive, to have hope in this period of time. That is our hope, and that gospel just drives us into community, into relationship, into confession. Everything hinges on that reality.
If we're going to be a mature church, if we're going to be mature people, we need to be deeply, deeply rooted in the gospel. We don't move past it. We're propelled by it because the gospel is the ultimate place where we begin to treasure Jesus, treasure God, and know him. So we hope this has jump-started your application of this message.
Yeah.
We hope this is helping you, even in connection group, begin to apply it more. Veritas, we love you guys, and thanks for joining us for the Sunday Recap.